come prepared because this is a diet, this is a food that we get for our soul, for our spirit. And if the only time we're getting it is here on Sunday morning, that's a starvation diet. That's not enough. If the only time we are in God's word is today, that's not enough. We got to get in there. We got to apply it, put it on every day. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves." I'm sorry, this is in the fourth chapter, the 14th verse of Ephesians. "And blown here and there by every wind of teaching, or by cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." I love how that says that the body, you know, it's infants to mature, right? It's infants to as high as it goes. It also says that each part does its work. Everybody has a part. Everybody should have a role to play here. Everybody has something they can offer. Everybody has a gift, a skill, a word, a smile that you can bring to this church. And not only this church, but this community. As we put on Christ in our daily lives and show Christ to the world. You know, when we put on Christ, it's something that you have to consciously do. Ever since I've had a job, when I got my first job, I was quickly measured for a uniform. It was at Chad Hargett's Chevron, and the first thing you did is you went in and got measured. You didn't go to work till you got a uniform. So you didn't start till you were in uniform. And Chad was a stickler for the uniform. You better have it on, it better be worn properly. Because if you were out of a uniform, that was not good. And my entire working career, I've worn a uniform. And it's odd when I run into folks out in town, and I'm not in my uniform, and the first thing they tell me is, "I didn't recognize you because you were out of uniform." You know, and I'm like, "Oh, well, that's kind of funny, but I guess you're used to seeing me in that." My prayer is that when we put on Christ and we're out and about, that nobody can ever say we're out of uniform. That we have clothed ourselves with Christ to the point where it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter if we're having a good day or a bad day, or if we're playing or in pain, that we're clothed in Christ. And it shows. Near as I can tell, this is a thing that we do all of our lives. Paul told the Philippians that he was aiming for that goal of heaven, that he had not attained it. And, you know, this was pretty close to the end of his life. So I think we have work to do. We have work that we can do personally. We have work that we can do in the body, and we have work to do in the community. And I think that with the things that we have coming up this coming year, that we have something for everyone that they can do, something that they can plug into, something that they can get involved with, something you can show your light to somebody, whether that be in this body or outside of this body, or both, or all the above. That you can show Christ through what you're involved with. Would you pray with me? God, we ask that you'd bless us. Help us to walk in you every day. We'd ask that you would help us to put on Christ as we go out into the world. Bless us in the things we do. Help us as we reach out to this community, that we could show your love by our actions. Be with us. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hopefully you were given a bulletin as well as a blue sheet of paper. I want you guys to take that paper out. On that piece of paper is a list of events, a list of things to do. And it is quite easy to see these events as merely social events, ways and opportunities for us to get to know people we've known for decades just a little bit better. And that's not what these events are for. These events are definitely, we want to encourage you guys to socialize. We definitely want to encourage you guys to come together, even though the fact that you guys have known each other for so long. But these events are opportunities. These events are opportunities for you to bring somebody else, to invite your family, to invite your coworkers, to invite the people you already live alongside. It is opportunities so that others can socialize with your friends. And I know that may seem embarrassing. You may not want your friends to socialize with these weird people that you know here on Sunday mornings, because we are quite weird. But these are opportunities for us to show others, to show other guests that there is not only a church here, not only is there a congregation here on this physical location, but there is a body of Christians here that love them, that accept them, that want to participate with them in their life. And so the first that we have coming up is the marriage seminar. Now, I hopefully have announced this so often. This is for everybody. We want everybody to come to this event. Even if you are single, engaged, if you are married, if you've been married for a year or 50 years, this is an event for us to learn better how to love each other, how to navigate our relationships. This is for us to come together and be encouraged on how to better have better, healthier marriages, have healthier relationships. And so please, I want you to be inviting your friends to this. There will be daycare for children. So even if they just want a night or a day out just to come and listen to somebody else encourage them while somebody else watches their kids, there is that. Lunch will be provided. So please be on the lookout for your neighbors and people who you think could use something like this. On March 26th, we are having a Ministries Focus Sunday morning. On that Sunday, we're going to be discussing the ministries that this church provides. And you can kind of get confused between a ministry and an event. A ministry is an ongoing aspect of this church. It includes our small groups, our women's ministry, our children's ministry. It includes all of the day-to-day functions that we do as a body, ways that we come together and we learn about God. We learn how we can serve others. And so on March 26th, we are going to be having an entire Sunday dedicated to learning about the different things that this congregation is doing to serve and love each other. On April 15th, we are going to be having an Easter celebration at a park. This event is still in planning, but this is something that we can include all of our families in. We want to have fun games. We want to provide for this community around us ways that they can serve, that they can love, and we might even get to throw some pies at Dave. So Dave doesn't know that yet. But that is an opportunity for us to get to know each other, get to know each other's guests, get to know each other's lives, so that we can see what Christ is doing in each and every one of our lives. On April 29th, again, we have the car show. On May 20th, we are going to be organizing events to serve and honor our seniors. We did this last year, and we kind of want to evolve this ministry. We want to look for opportunities to serve our senior citizens, to serve the people out in the community. And for this, I need volunteers. Not just people who are willing to serve, because you guys are great at that. You guys are great at serving. We need people who are willing to lead groups of individuals out to Poinsettia Gardens, out to our community, out around here. People who are willing to take others with them as they go serve. We're going to be providing gardening. We're going to be providing changing light bulbs, changing batteries, cleaning refrigerators. We will do whatever in order to get into people's homes and love them, because Christ first loved us. So please, keep that on your hearts and pray about that. On June 19th, I guess we're having a VBS. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. It's the first time I have. Yes, we'll be having VBS, Vacation Bible School. So be on the lookout for the families that you know to invite them to this. On July 8th, we're going to have a summer celebration, a barbecue at the park, once again, to get out of this building, to go out into the community and to love them where they are at. I want to emphasize this again. These are opportunities. This does not even represent all of the little tiny events that we do individually for Christ. Because I know personally that there are many people out here who are serving Jesus in their own specific and unique way. And we want to do our best as a leadership to include you in this, to include each other. So if you have a ministry, if you have an event that you want to organize, that you want to plan, we encourage you. I almost command you to tell us about it. We want to be a part of something bigger. It is easy for a staff at a church, for a minister, to just do a lot of things and feel isolated because we seem to be doing them by ourselves. And I know that isn't true. And I know it's the same for members, that we serve Christ in our own unique ways and it kind of isolates us. And we don't want to do that anymore. So if you are serving God and you think that there's somebody else here that can help, speak out. Let us know. Let us put it on a calendar. Let us tell others about the good things God is doing through you and in this community. And if you think that we can be doing this better, tell me. We are open. We want to open a conversation with you on how we can be serving and loving others even better. So that next year when we come to you with a schedule, we have every day or every week represented here, not just once a month. So that you know that you are serving and loving a part of a congregation who is serving and loving this community actively. So please be praying about these events. And if you would like to serve in any of these events, let me, Dave, Gavin, the elders, let us know. We want to include you in any way that we can. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we go before your throne and we lay down these plans before you. We recognize that we make mistakes, that we can be faulty, that we have our own intention, that we have our own plans and our own visions, but we recognize that we are here only because of you. Only because of your love for us, we are here today. Only because you saw fit to sacrifice your son for us, that we have an opportunity to do the same to this community here. And as God, we serve you. Humble us. Humble us, God, as we meet people who are different than us, people who think differently than us, people who have different opinions or politics or looks. Humble us, Lord, as we lay down our lives for them. We want to intentionally serve you, purposefully serve you. We want to align our vision with yours. So God, as we do this, as a congregation and as a family, we thank you for the opportunity, the responsibility to do this, that we get to go out and love others, that we get to go out and serve others. And this should cause us to smile. This should cause us to be excited. And we thank you for this. We thank you, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for giving us this service. And it is your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen.
In Second Opinions, chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Bob wrote, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, pies are to be eaten, not thrown." You've heard a vision from Brent this morning on behalf of our elders. Before an artist starts shaping a work of art, he or she has a vision of what that artwork will be. It's said of Leonardo da Vinci that before he began working on what would become the Statue of David, that someone asked him, "What are you going to do with this large chunk of rock?" And he said, "I see David in this rock." And he made it so. Before an inventor begins working on an invention, he or she has a vision of what that invention will be. When Thomas Edison started working on the incandescent light bulb, he had a vision of city streets and homes that would no longer be lit by kerosene lanterns, but by electricity. Before you or I begin any endeavor, whatever it may be, whether it's a business, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's some kind of sports club, or whatever it may be, we have a vision. We must have a vision of what that endeavor will be. And we must have a vision of how that endeavor will develop and succeed. Without a vision, there is nothing to begin anything. Back in the 1950s, when Jimmy Lovell had a vision of taking the gospel to the world by way of the mail, it seems that no one else had thought of that, or if they had, they thought it was impossible. But he had a vision of what could be. And he made plans little by little, and little by little that developed. And today there have been literally tens of millions of people who have studied the Bible by correspondence, and millions of those have become Christians. And the legacy of that is that the churches that have been established by way of that are sending out missionaries themselves. With a vision, there is hope of something to be. Only with a vision can a plan begin to be developed. So all plans must derive from a vision of what could be. And some would even take it further. They would say that only with a vision can plans derive of what must be. That sounds a lot like God. A plan without a vision lacks purpose, it lacks direction, and it lacks value. Aristotle remarked, "You stand a far greater chance of hitting the target if you can see it." Well, we may sometimes have a hard time seeing the target. It can get confused by all of the things that are going around, kind of by the noise, if you will, the distractions of our society. But without a vision, we have no target. We have nothing to aim at. But with a target, with a vision, we have something to aim at. We have a goal. Before God created the universe, he had a vision of what it would be. God's vision of his creation took shape in the plans for each part of that vision. And only because of God's vision could he develop plans for his creation. The Bible keeps revealing God's vision for people. If you think about it, in different ways, whether they were visuals or whether they were words, God begins revealing his vision in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He develops it further with Noah, further yet with Abraham, with a much larger vision that Abraham could not grasp. It was God's vision for a future that Abraham would never see, for a people that he could not imagine. God kept developing and sharing that vision, and he shared it with Moses. And he shared it with Israel. Now it was something a little more concrete. It was something more visible. It was, in fact, something within their reality. It was a place called Canaan that was the promised land. It would be Israel. It would be a kind of heaven on earth under the kingship of God, with a people living after the will of God. Of course, we find the vision renewed over and over and over until we get to Jesus. And the ultimate of the vision is revealed in him and climaxed in him. Psalm chapter 33 and verses 10 through 11 confirms, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart throughout all generations. That tells us that the Lord God will accomplish his changeless vision, his changeless purposes, his changeless plans. And we see that played out within scriptures. And it's fascinating when you really look at how God does this. Because God does things that only God can do by himself, of himself, for people and against people. But he also works through people. Sometimes he works through his people. And sometimes when his people are not willing to do his will, he works through other people that are not his people, that don't even confirm him or acknowledge him. But God's will be done. And the real question comes in the scripture, will you or I be part of it? Or will we be on the sidelines? Will we be blessed by being a part of it, by uniting with him? Or will we just kind of watch it all going on and miss out on all the best that God has to give us? As the Bible often says, God's hand is not too short to do this or that. And what that means is God is not powerless. God is capable to achieve his vision, whether we work with him or not. As the leaders of this congregation, our elders have attempted to prayerfully and carefully look into God's word to find God's vision, God's purposes, God's plans. You and I, as members of this congregation, and subject to our elders, are responsible for following our elders, for joining in with God in those plans, those purposes derived from God's vision. We're responsible for yielding our limited vision, our limited purposes, our limited plans to God's superior ones. God's vision for each Christian is really threefold. It's to grow, it's to gather, and it's to glorify. We are to grow in Christ's likeness. Scripture is very clear and repetitive about that. We're to gather people to Christ that they might be part of what God is doing and be blessed because of it. And blessed not just now or momentarily, but forever. And we're to have as our goal in all things to glorify God. If we will give ourselves to God and to his vision, to his will, then his hand will be with us. The vision, the purposes, and the plans of our elders reflect God's will and God's love for every person. It's his call to each of us to join him in his work. Something that's become more and more and more common within Christendom as a whole in America, and really throughout all of Western culture, is this statement. God is already at work. He doesn't depend upon us for starting something or continuing something or envisioning something. What our responsibility is to find out what God is doing and join him in that work. Amen? Amen? God is at work. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to work with us and through us. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, revels in that. He says, this is wonderful. We are God's co-laborers. We have an opportunity to work with God, that God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will be done. It's our opportunity. It's to our blessing that God chooses to let us and invite us into that, to truly reflect his image as his people to his glory. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 urges us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, it's easy for us as human beings to come up with great ideas. At least we think they're great, don't we? We think the church should be doing this or this or this. And you know, some of our ideas may have real merit. And our elders may come up with some great plans for us to do various things. But the question is, have we submitted our plans, our ideas, our genius to God and ask Him what He would have us to do? Does our plans really fit with God's plans? Or are we getting our cart before His horse? That's a question we really need to think about. Have we committed to the Lord whatever our mind is so that God's plans will succeed? I want to encourage you, as Joe did and as Brent did for the elders, to pray and participate.